Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast, presented by Apidura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Ride with GPS, and Supernova. I'm Jenny Tuff, and I'm your host for the Transcontinental Race number 11. It's day 12, and all eyes are on the fastest women of the race. Here's race coordinator Hannah in Control Car 2, who has been tracking these riders across the continent.
We're on the approach to the Finnish parkour now, and we've been planning on catching Jana there on the parkour and then waiting around for Cynthia, who all day has had about a 90-minute gap following Jana. When we saw them last night, Cynthia was still leading, and she was maybe 20 minutes ahead of Jana. But shortly after that, Cynthia stopped for the night. It looked like she had a bit of faffing around in a town, moving around for about half an hour before her dot stopped moving for a while. So she had about 4 hours of stoppage and presumably about 3 or 3.5 hours of sleep. And then Jana stopped a little bit later in the night, had 3 hours stoppage, but it looked like she got straight to a hotel and bedded down for the night. So a slightly more efficient stop from her. Jana also made some sensible routing decisions by the look of it last night and gained a little bit of time on Cynthia there. But they're riding today at pretty much the same pace. Jana's been 90 minutes ahead of her most of the day, but we just saw that Cynthia had stopped for about an hour. And looking at her Instagram, it looks like she's had some puncture issues that have slowed her down. So they're on the approach to the parkour now, which is 140k of riding, and I imagine that gap's now gone out to 2.5-3 hours, and I imagine that feels probably like an unclosable gap to Cynthia, so it might have taken the wind out of her sails a bit, and I think we probably won't have a chance to see her on the parkour before it gets dark, but we're gonna head to the finish and stay up late for them both and see how they get on.
Our media team reached Constanta themselves to receive riders in at the finish. I asked Sophie to paint me a picture of what it's like there. I wanted to get a visual of what our riders are working so hard to reach.
The city of Constanta in Romania, on the Black Sea coast, is the oldest city in the country and a really important port. It's a place with old ruins, busy beaches, and a mix of culture from ancient Greek and Roman rules and Ottoman influence. It's both a cultural crossroads and a seaside escape. But it's also the finisher line of the TCR number 11. After 120 kilometers in the last parkour, the riders arrive on the beach where there is a beach club where the finisher party takes place. So during the day, it's a chill place with a bit of music. The riders that are already there are chilling, drinking beers, sharing their story together. And as soon as there is a rider arriving, we all gather outside and we cheer the next rider, because there is a rule: always cheer the next rider. And during the night, the place is a nightclub. I was really worried that there will be no dancing included in the finisher party, but I'm not worried anymore. It's going to be a hell of a party.
The fastest woman and eighth overall, Jana Kessenheimer, cap number one, has made it to the finish line. After getting her official stamp and a beer placed in her hand, she sat down with race reporter Sophie.
How does it feel to get the last stamp?
Honestly, I don't really find words. Like, I'm really happy. I'm a bit proud too. And
a bit?
I'm proud.
Yes, I think you can say it.
And I found it.
You should scream it.
I found it so excited to find myself like in a proper race. Like, I mean, I did several races before, but I've never been that focused on just the riding and organizing myself. And it was so cool to have Cynthia and Leila kicking my ass.
Also, you are in the top 10.
Wow!
You knew or not?
I didn't really knew.
No, okay. You are in the top 10.
Wow.
Many people, including a lot of women, told me the reason why they were racing TCR this year was because they saw a documentary of you on German TV. You were the only reason why they were here.
Yeah, that's like the best feedback I can imagine. So being just visible for other people and what our community is or what racing these ultra means. So yeah, it gives me goosebumps to see that people would like to do it too.
I felt during the race that when you saw me, I wanted to talk to you, but I never know if you are busy or anything, but I could see that you always wanted to share what you were living. Why is that? Why do you want to share?
I think I'm quite an emotional person, I don't know, and sometimes, even when I'm on my own on my bike, like, I speak out loud what I think, like, I say, wow, or whatever, so if something looks cool, or so, it's just, I don't know, I can't keep it for me. And no, also, I feel like, for me, it's really also a motivation to share, I mean, of course, with you in this very moment, but also with the people who are going to listen to the podcast, like people who hear about the race and people who get more insights into this very moment as well. And if we don't share, like, how should they know? And I found it cool that there is the podcast and the documentary we did and whatever, so that we can share our friends and grandmas and whatever. Yeah.
You told me yesterday that you didn't want to play the sleep card, that you wanted to arrive as a functioning human.
Like, winning is nice, and I am competitive, so I'm really, really happy to be here first. So I won't hide that. But I also noticed that I would not skip the sleep, because when I skip the sleep, nothing is fun anymore. Like, as when I'm only tired, I cannot enjoy anything. So it's taking away the whole good mood that I usually enjoy. So this is why, like, sleep is holy. I mean, I only slept 2.5 hours the last two nights, so it's still not a lot.
Yeah.
So it's still really little, but I would not skip it.
What I realized when seeing you on the race is that you never seemed to be stressed. You were always, like, steady hands, like, at the resupply point. You knew what you were going to do. Like, you, even when we saw you on the, like, a few kilometers before the parkour, you were still, like, super focused, where I would have been super stressed. And I was really impressed by that. How do you keep that calm all the time?
I don't know.
No, I think I am really calm in this moment, because I realized that you mess things up with being too impulsive. Like, the race is so long, and I am really impatient normally, like, in everyday life. I think it's harder for me to stay calm. But in a race, like, it's wasting your energy. So yeah, I'm just thinking that things will pass, and the only thing what brings me forward is riding my bike. So whatever is standing in the way, it's not worth it. So
really wise word.
No,
so
really
easy. I'm impressed. And you've done almost 5,000 kilometers, and you can still think about those things. Wow. I think you can congratulate yourself now.
I will drink a beer on myself.
Our race crew stayed up a little longer to welcome in the second woman, Cynthia Carson, Cap 137. She put in such a strong race and is a racer who personally inspires me with how much drive she brings to all the challenges she takes on. Here she is, having a cold drink and reflecting on her race at the Zoom Beach finish line.
Ready? One, two.
Whoa! Good effort.
It's been 2 years of trying to get to this finish line, so.
Yeah.
It is all-consuming, and it can be very fun for that to be the case, but it's also, I'm glad to have been able to complete the goal, the desire, the task. It may not be exactly what I was hoping for, but it's still pretty good.
What else were you hoping for?
I really, really wanted to win, but unfortunately the cards didn't play in my favor this time.
You guys had such a good race.
Yeah, it was
so
a good
tight
battle.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, God, I would have loved to race at the end. That's the thing about ultra, is like, the person who gets up and gets, you know, the extra worms in the end, it's better for them. So having an actual race to the finish isn't advantageous. But for me, having a race to the finish is more advantageous, because the competition drives me, and I'd rather it be super close and not take the win than be super far back for whatever reason, like, unfolded with this.
I mean, a few hours behind over the course of 12 days is not a big gap.
If you could have anything on the finish line, what would that be?
Skier and a beer. Yeah, I think skier. The yogurt?
Ah, okay.
Or something like that. I don't know.
This is so healthy.
It's a bit cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And a familiar face. Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, still some kilometers to do.
What are you the most looking for at the finish now?
At the finish?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been focusing so much on the race in the moment that I'm not thinking about the future. So it's a bit of a Buddhist thing. It's like focus on the now. Then when we get there, we'll see.
All right.
That's quite an effort.
We could have prepared a meal for you. You know.
That could be good. A good pasta. A big plate of pasta. Yeah.
All right. I take the order. If you could have anything on the finish line, what would it be?
A shower in the bed.
When was your last shower?
2 days ago. And new cloth.
The mid-pack of riders are now advancing across the Adriatic and heading into Burrell, Albania for their fifth control stamp. Our control point volunteers have sent in a few clips of the riders they've met. First, here's Sophie Mangerstetter, Cap 81.
Welcome to
CP5. Bravo.
Welcome.
A hard way to get here.
Sorry.
You took the gravel, didn't you? How was it?
The first part I was thinking it's okay, but then it gets really long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I heard from everyone there's really bad defects and stuff, so I think I was lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Oh.
I don't know if it's faster, but that's good because I started after the Peria, it took me so long to get into the riding again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I feel like I was so slow.
So you would say the break on the ferry was more of a disadvantage than...
No, it was for sure good, but to get into riding again...
Yeah.
And two caps for the price of one, it's cap 41, Matt Spooner, and cap 43, Michael Gauntz.
How was the race until now for you?
It's been pretty good. Had some knee problems early on in the race and they seem to have gone away, so now making progress and it's my third time, so I had a pretty good idea what to expect and it's going as I expected.
Okay, nice. And you, for you?
Yeah, it's been pretty smooth so far. Everything has been good or okay, I feel good, but it's still a long finish.
What was your favorite BV, or did any bivvy during the race?
My favourite bivvy, two nights ago I came into a town in Italy, I think it was called Castiglione, but don't quote me on that, and I got to it was about midnight, and just before midnight, and they were packing up in the bar, they warmed me up a panini and gave me a gelato, or sold me a gelato, and they said that I could go and set my bivvy up on the terrace, and they left the toilets unlocked, which were outdoors as well, so I had somewhere to charge my devices because there was a plug in the toilets and could go and get washed. So that was like a luxury bivvying.
And for you?
Oh, I haven't had any bivvy, always hotels, or once that was the nicest one, a whole apartment in Italy, and I think it was also the cheapest so far, really, three-room apartment. I could have stayed for days, but it was a bit strange to arrive late and leave early, but that was really nice.
Okay, and what are your plans for the rest of the race?
Well, just make it to the finish line.
Yeah, I think just to enjoy the next 3.5 days or so and make it to the finish line and hope that we just stop discussing anything about bridges.
Thank you.
Yesterday we saw the battle for third place settled with a strong finish from returning TCR rider, captain number 6, David Chen. After a little recovery from what was an incredible run to the finish, this morning our reporter Jake was able to hear more about how David played his cards right to get that third place.
So, David, now a day on from gaining the third place, from a podium finish, I wanted to ask a little bit about like what brought you to the TCR again, because it's obviously your third consecutive year now, and how you sort of improved throughout.
Yeah, I mean...
once you've done it once, it's hard not to come back, you know. I feel like if I wouldn't be here, I probably would have FOMO, like fear of missing out. But yeah, I've done it 3 times now, and the previous 2 times I've done it, I just always had some kind of issue that I feel like kind of got in the way of getting like a run that I'm satisfied with. But yeah, I didn't feel like I really could show what I'm capable of, and so I came back again this year and I had a great run, and it worked all out. Yeah.
I mean, you say it worked out, and then but the last time I spoke to you, David, was in Il Campo. It had just been like horrendous thunderstorm. You were soaked through, and you just kind of realized that the first wave of the ferry wasn't in reach, and that was going to sort of split the field and make, you know, pole position, first place, sort of put that out of reach. And you know, how were you feeling at that point?
Yeah, you caught me at a bit of a low there. I did the calculations for the ferry like relatively early on, like 2 days before reaching the ferry, and it just didn't seem like, yeah, it didn't make sense. I would have to ride like 24 kilometers an hour for like 44 hours without stopping at all, and I was like, yeah, that's not gonna happen. But yeah, I had a bit of a gap, and so like looking ahead, I thought like the four riders in front of me, they're all gonna make it, and I'm gonna be like the only one not gonna make it. So I was a little down that I'm not gonna get to fight for a podium spot, which I really wanted to reach if possible. So yeah, that was a little bit of a low point there, I thought. Yeah.
And I saw then that it wasn't plain sailing, you know, to the very end. That you crashed only once in this race, but it was on the finish parkour, right?
Yeah. I thought I would really make it through this race without crashing. I crashed both previous TCRs. But yeah, then it was a little off-road section at the very end, and there were some pretty deep ruts, and for 1 second I didn't pay attention. My front wheel got sucked in and I kind of fell over. It wasn't fast, but yeah, I was just laying there for like a minute and was just like, yeah, I was like...
Guess I gotta carry on.
Yeah, I was just like resting there for a minute, just laying with the bike on top of me. Like, all right, let's...
Just having a little cuddle.
Yeah.
Well, you've proved it. You've proven it now, David. And let's see how high the rungs of the TCR ladder extend for you. You know, we'll see you back here next year, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know yet, but yeah.
Control Car 2 found a surprise rider on the road. Here's Sophie and Hannah in the car.
So we were on our way to catch up with Yana and Cynthia, and we bump into a submarine riders, Paul Cap 167. So every rider, they have a tracker so we can see where they are, and other riders can see where everyone is, and you kind of adjust your race strategy to that. Can you explain us what's going on when a tracker is not working?
Yeah, so normally when a tracker's not working, the rider might be aware of it and they can get in touch with our comms manager, John, to try and remedy the situation. Or John might get in touch with them to tell them that they need to try resetting it or to get a tracker swap. In this situation, Powell was aware that his tracker wasn't working. He's been flying under the radar for the last 12 hours or so with his eyes set on catching up the riders ahead of him. So in this situation, if he'd caught them, it would have been pretty unfair on them, given that they didn't know his position and he hadn't actively done anything to get in touch with John and try and get a tracker swap. So unfortunately, that cost him a bit of time swapping it over. If we're prepared for it, if they've been in touch with John to ask for support, we can be prepared with a new tracker, and handing over a new tracker can take as little as 5 seconds. But unfortunately in that situation, we were troubleshooting it a bit by the side of the road. It cost him about 10 minutes.
Eventually, Control Car 2 was able to get Paul's attention to fix his tracker.
Hello.
Hey. My tracker is not there.
Needs charging, I believe.
No.
No?
He's blinking green all the time.
It's blinking green. Can you try unplugging it, turning it off and on again, and then we'll see if it starts working? I think it might just need a reset.
We are doing that because at this point of the race, it's nice if everyone can see where everyone is.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
We are, close to the finish, so...
Okay, I'm just waiting to see whether it appears on the map.
Yeah, looking behind your shoulder, huh? Mm-hmm. Do you know who is around you? What is your goal here?
I'm only looking forward.
Just getting to the finish as fast as possible.
And maybe get the girls.
Maybe what? Catch the girls.
Yeah.
Do you know how far behind, ahead of you, sorry, they are?
I think Cynthia woke me up today, and I started maybe 15 minutes after she passed by.
What do you mean she woke you up?
She was speaking really loud. and all the dogs were going on.
All right, so yeah, we are just waiting for the...
GPS is blinking.
Okay, so we turned it on.
GPS
is blinking. Thanks, Paul. That's good.
Okay, see you.
Right, bye, Paul.
And now for some voice note postcards from our riders throughout the field. First, it's pairs 398, Simon and Julien, also known as the Beavers.
Simon Torel here, and I'm with Julien Gravo.
And I'm brushing my teeth.
Yeah, those little beaver teeth. So what we've been up to, a lot of things actually. We were on a really nice honeymoon in Siena, but instead of having some cool restaurants and living the best life, we just decided to go to Hell during the night on the Strade Bianche. And so we did. And actually we did a tad too much because we were like too busy thinking of a ferry on the Wednesday night. A ferry who didn't accept beavers apparently because we didn't catch it. And we got our little flat tail kicked very hard trying to do that. So yeah.
And then we slept outside for a lovely camp.
Yeah, a lovely little camp. And actually, I fell down a bench and it was really ridiculous.
Like a worm. Yeah, I was preparing my my bed on a picnic table. And I just heard this like mute noise, like... And then I just turned back and there was this Simon the worm. Just like looking at me like, I don't know what happened.
And then in the morning we crushed the Strade Bianche with the sunrise, and it was one of the best moments of the race. So
we felt like we were Maximus in Gladiator.
Yeah, we were rejoining the Gladiator movie. It was really nice, and yeah, legs were good, and we had a big day pushing, trying to make a gap with the other pair of the German guys. But trying to do so, we got a big lessons. From which school, Julien?
Oh yeah, we went to the sit down and be humble school. We got basically humbled by the road, the weather, the fatigue, and we got a little nervous. We discovered that our route wasn't good. Like there was like a new road that was actually a highway, and we had to avoid it. So it took us some time, and we got pretty nervous because we were tired. And because we were tired and because we were late, we decided to push through the night until CP5, which we did.
We are having a great time, and we wanted to continue. So, yep, we'll try our best to, finish the CR. It's already a big deal, no? So we are really happy for that and looking forward to the next chapter, the Eastern chapter. And so let's speak soon. Cheers.
It's Ben, Cat 381A here. Chris, my pair, is a few metres in front of me, pedalling away. We're going up Parkour 4 at the minute, just gone through the checkpoint. There's a really nice vibe at the checkpoint. Lots of riders, volunteers. We're doing good. We had yesterday evening, we decided we were going to get which ferry we're going to take. And that's going to be Saturday lunchtime ferry, 1 o'clock. Which means we have to push towards it. But we thought if we want a bit of buffer time in the Balkans to make it to the finishers party, we need to make sure we get that one. Last night we bivvied in a village, a town villagey thing outside just before L'Aquila, and we stayed in this like marquee in the middle of town, and we were sort of camped, there's a car parked in it, and we sort of snuck behind it and slept there. Everything was all good, seemed pretty secure and safe. And then at 3:30 in the morning, another car drives into the marquee, and it's a police car, and it wakes Chris up with its lights, and I'm still there snoring with this police car with its lights shining on me and Chris. And this policeman gets out of the car, sees us both, and just waves at us and goes, indicates that we just should go back to sleep. And he gets in his other car and goes home. I'm guessing he's just finishing his shift and switching cars or something. Anyway, today we've pushed on. It's nice and sunny. The actual climb is not too steep and not too hot compared to the valley, which is really nice. And we're hoping to do a big one this afternoon and this evening. Anyway, I hope you guys are all good, and we're very much enjoying listening to the podcast when it comes out. Bye.
it's Liz Gardner, cap number 375. I'm in Italy, as you might guess, and I've just been down, on parkour 3, which was absolutely amazing. The views were breathtaking, which really helped me with taking my mind off the actual gravel riding, because it's my only second experience of graveling anyway. But it was fantastic. What a great route. And then I came back to the hotel after surviving it, and the bike was all in one piece, so I was really pleased. And then I started doing my washing in the bathroom, and I slipped over and landed on my bum and really hurt it. And I thought, oh my God, this can't be my way of finishing the TCR. But luckily, all was okay, and I've been able to get on my bike today. But actually, the pain from it took away all the other pains that I had, so that was quite a good thing in the end. But yeah, I'm back in the saddle, and I'm on the coast now, which is great. Still enjoying it. I'm a bit tired, but I mean, it's expected, isn't it, really? So, but great fun.
And now over to Sophie for the recap of day 12.
Welcome to Romania. We left Bulgaria this morning with the goal of riding the final 300k and covering the top riders today. I was really impressed by how calm and how focused they were, and also by the fact that they all told me, I'm just doing my race, and if others are faster, well, I will simply congratulate them. But what keeps them going? What keeps you going? Habits? At some point, I think you just stop asking questions, you're on the road, and things get simple. Ride, eat, sleep, repeat. No need to think any further. Tonight, our first woman arrived, Yana, cap 1, comfortably seated at the current 8th position. Her commitment to the race was total. She always had a word, always a smile, always a story to tell. She knows the importance to share, to witness, to inspire. Many riders at the registration told me that they signed up because they saw the documentary she did on her last TCR on German TV. Yana has a voice, and tonight we all hear it. A few years ago, when she was a rookie, she was herself inspired by another rider who understands also how important it is to use her voice to advocate cycling and women in cycling. She will arrive tomorrow, and it's Lael, cap 112. But the race is far from being over, so let's back to those still out there. There is more ice cream than toothbrush on the picture, so please don't forget to brush your teeth. To their defense, it is hot here. Laurent, cap 196, currently in North Macedonia, had 47 degrees on his GPS today. To give you a perspective, the maximum I ever had was 54, and it was in the middle of the Saharan desert. There is 247 active riders, and minus the 8 already in Constanta, there is then 239 out there. Today there was 7 scratches. We've also got news from Tom and Gavin, cap 376, also known as our first ever tandem pair. They put everything they could in the time they got, and their TCR comes to an end. They wanted to finish on a high, and they did, like 2,215 meters high at the Col du Tourmalet. As Gavin is a sight-impaired rider, they have opened a door here and hope many other riders will follow. I quote them, "It's a sad moment, but full of positive reflection. Thank you for making us laugh and dream. You've been a sunshine in this TCR." Now, Gossip Girl moment. XOXO. I've seen many Harry faces. Harry faces. This is a vain attempt to do a play word with happy and fairy. They ask a French person to be a race reporter. What did they expect? There is more and more Balkan picture here. In case you wonder what is faster between a TCR rider and a horse with a carriage, it is surprisingly a TCR rider. Or at least for Marcus, cap 153, but he is on an ice cream only diet, so it seems to be working. The bravery badge of the day goes to Ella Brown, cap 299, for her tenacity. She was threw out of her bike by the wing mirror of a car, so she went to the hospital to be checked. Thankfully, everything was fine, so she bivvied at the hospital and jumped on her bike again. But this is not the end yet. She arrived at CP4, and when she left, she hit a pothole on the road and broke her rim. So here, I think most of the people would have called it a night, but not Ella. So she found a shop, got a new wheel, had her old one delivered to her home, and then she jumped on her bike again. At that moment, she had obviously lost a lot of time, so she pressed on her pedal and managed to get the ferry she had booked the day before. So piece of advice, don't ever stand between Ella and a ferry. Her determination has no limit. See you in Romania. Tonight we are in Constanta with the first 8 riders who arrived. They can all enjoy the sleep now, and so can their family, who are usually sleeping even less than the riders themselves, refreshing every 2 minutes the tracker page. Does it ring a bell for you? But for our 239 riders still out there, keep up the good work. I love receiving your little voice note and see your progress. There is a giant dance floor at the finish line, so hurry up. Good night, everyone, and good ride.
Thanks for listening to the Lost Dot podcast. You can stay up to date with the race on our blog and social channels, where the Lost Dot team are reporting on stories from our riders throughout the day. Thanks to our race partners, Apadura, Albion, Curve, Peak Design, POC, Rider GPS, and Supernova. To all of our riders out there, stay safe, and I hope that every dog you see today is a very good dog.